السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International this Friday afternoon. The program with Sheikh Sajid Omar every Friday between 2 and 3 Southern African time. On the line with us we have Sheikh Sajid. Sheikh Sajid, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا.
How are you keeping, Sheikh Sajid?
اللهم لك الحمد. جزاك الله خير.
الحمد لله. شكرا for your time. Allah رب العزة reward you and make it a benefit to all of the listeners on Radio Islam International, inshallah.
آمين آمين. ونحن جميعا شكرا. May Allah reward all of us.
آمين inshallah inshallah. Chapter 131, Sheikh Sajid, كتاب السلام, the excellence of giving currency to salutation, فضل السلام والأمر بإفشائها بإفشائه. The narration of the hadith today of عن أبي عمارة البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنهما قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بسبع: بعيادة المريض وإتباع الجنائز وتشمية العاطس ونصر الضعيف وعون المظلوم وإفشاء السلام وإبرار المخسن. متفق عليه. براء بن عازب رضي الله عنه narrated that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم enjoyed doing seven things. He said visiting the sick, following the bier of a dead believer, invoking the mercy of Allah upon one who sneezes, supporting the weak, helping the oppressed, multiplying the greeting of peace, and fulfilling the vows. وعن أبي يوسف عبد الله بن سلام رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يا أيها الناس أفشوا السلام وأطعموا الطعام وصلوا الأرحام وصلوا والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام. عبد الله بن سلام رضي الله أبو يوسف عبد الله بن سلام رضي الله عنه reported that the Rasul of he said I heard the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, O you people, exchange greetings of peace, feed people, strengthen the ties of kinship, and be in prayer when others are asleep. You will enter Jannah in peace. وعن الطفيل بن أبي أبي بن كعب أنه كان يأتي عبد الله بن عمر فيغدو معه إلى السوق قال فإذا غدونا إلى السوق لم يمر عبد الله على سقات ولا صاحب بيعة ولا مسكين ولا أحد إلا سلم عليه. قال الطفيل فجئت عبد الله بن عمر يوما فاستتبعني إلى السوق فقلت له ما تصنع بالسوق وأنت لا تقف على البيع ولا تسأل عن السلع ولا تشوم بها ولا تجلس في مجالس السوق وأقول أجلس بنا ها هنا نتحدث. فقال يا أبا بطن, وكان الطفيل ذا بطن, إنما نغدو من أجل السلام نسلم على من لقيناه. رواه مالك. Narrated by Tufail bin Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu that he used to visit Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu in the morning and accompany him to the market. Abdullah offered salutations of peace to every seller of petty goods, trader and poor person. One day when I came to him, he asked me to accompany him into the market. I said to him, what is the point of your going to the market when you don't engage in selling, nor asking about articles, you neither offer a price for them, nor sit down with any company of people? Let us just sit down here and we can talk. So he replied, a corpulent one, meaning Tufail, who had a large belly, said, I go to the market to greet everyone. I salute those I meet. Subhanallah, what good intention, making salam with everybody while going to the marketplace.
Barakallahu fiyik, mashallah, indeed, that is a great intention. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we are discussing the book pertaining to the Islamic greeting, and I greet you with the greetings of peace at the outset of this discussion. Last week we began this particular chapter, walillahi alhamd, the chapter related to the salam, as Imam al-Nawawi has placed it in his book Riyadh al-Salihin, and in particular chapter 131. We went through the ayats of this particular topic placed by the Imam rahimahullah, and we also covered the first narration walillahi alhamd, and shared some other pertinent pieces of advice from narrations that we will come to throughout the series in terms of our discussion related to the salam, such as how many rewards we get for the type of salam we offer, the initial ruling behind giving the salam and the ruling with regards to responding to the salam of a person, and also the how the response should be better than the greeting received, and so on and so forth. So this we all covered last week. Walillahi alhamd. In today's session, we want to continue with our discussions, and we go with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr from the outset. This hadith was recited last week, so we'll start with this particular hadith. We started it last week, but we didn't manage to cover it. So let's start with it in this session, and then inshallah we'll go on to the other narrations that we just had. So we have in my particular copy hadith number 845, which is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhuma, and he says that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which act in Islam is the best? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best act is to give food as a sadaqah, to give food, to be charitable by giving food, and also to greet everyone whether you know this know them or you don't know them. Okay, this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So this hadith is amazing because firstly, it teaches us how comprehensive the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how comprehensive these teachings are. And here a person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asks this question. So if we just look at the nature of the question, it tells us a lot about the nature of the people that lived at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Because here the Sahabi, obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching them a lot of things, right? But here he comes and says, which Islam is the best? So this teaches us firstly that they really wanted to be the best. They didn't just want to be anybody in the process. They didn't want to be just like everyone else around. They wanted to be the best, the best, the best, the best. This is what they wanted to be. So they would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if to say, you taught us so many things, but tell us what is the best, right? Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indeed has taught us about the best Islam in different narrations. Right, and also this teaches us how unique Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was as a teacher, because this man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other narrations, other people came and said, "What is the best act?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed them to other things. No doubt, salah is the best act after the shahada, right? But here, this man who came, it's clear from the narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew him to be a person who observed the salah. Because if it wasn't, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have said that. We know in other narrations, the salah has been cited, and being good to your parents has been cited, right? Praying salah on time and being good to your parents has been cited. In this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you feed the poor, that you feed people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration was general. Feed people and you spread the salam. So maybe as a logical deduction, we can deduce that perhaps this man had weakness in this, for the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted these two points, and in other narrations he highlighted other points, which means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a teacher was amazing. He was speaking to people based on their circumstance, based on their situation, right? And we have to take this on board. You know, especially for those who are, you know, imams and khatibs of masajid, we have to take this on board as well, that we start making our khutbahs relative, right, to the communities that we speak to. It has to be relative. It cannot be a copy-paste speech from another speaker or another person who prepared a speech for a different audience. Right, we might be able to benefit from the pressure points of the speech, but it shouldn't be a copy-paste scenario, for example. We've got to put in that effort, because if we want to be true educators, then لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that indeed in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example for you. The best example in anything that you want to be. If you want to be a teacher, a preacher, a propagator, he is the best example. And we learn here an amazing quality from him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a teacher, that he would speak to people based on them. So This person came to ask, and this was his answer. Now, the fact that this person came to ask also teaches us how amazing the people were at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't want to settle for mediocrity. They wanted to be excellent. So, yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching so many things, but here this person comes and says, "Tell me what's the best." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "For you, these are the areas you have to fix: feed people and spread the salam." And when you spread the salam, spread it to people you know and people you don't know. Now obviously, this is referring to the greeting to Muslims, of course, because this is the Islamic greeting. And this is another point that we learn, my dear brothers and sisters. And it's an issue that we have as a community. But before we get to that, let's discuss the first piece of advice, which is to feed the people. Because here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlights that feeding the people is an act of worship. It is an ibadah. Right? And when we say people, we mean all people. Starting with our family, the greatest sadaqah you can do is feed your family. Today, unfortunately, we might offer 5 rands, 10 rands to a poor person and feel that this is sadaqah and intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we take our family out to a restaurant or go to the grocery store and, you know, we do the weekly shopping, the grocery shopping, so that, you know, there can be food at home. But we don't intend in our heart that this is a sadaqah as well. We don't intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by it. We think we sort of do it as if it's a process from the processes of the dunya, and no doubt by doing it this way our rewards are less. We're not saying there's no rewards, because Allah rewards us, but the weight of rewards is proportionate to the strength of intention, right? So it's important that if you do take your family out to the restaurant, or you do, you know, take them to buy groceries and so on and so forth, intend feeding, intend this hadith, that I want to act on this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that from the best practices in Islam is to feed people, and Allah has given me this blessing so that I can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by feeding, by being able to afford this weekly shopping bill or this restaurant bill and so on and so forth, so that you benefit both ways. You benefit from, you know, alhamdulillah, having the amenities of the dunya, and in the process that act became an act of worship, and Allah rewarded you insha'Allah, and if you were rewarded, alhamdulillah, your jannah becomes bigger. So really, you paying, you know, 2,000 rand, 3,000 rand for your weekly shopping or monthly shopping, I don't know the cost of living in South Africa, but in reality you paid 3,000 and you bought a piece of jannah. Now it becomes cheap, right? So, wallahi, Islam really helps us with our, you know, we always say we felt the pinch of that bill. But if you made it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you were not excessive in what you did, then really there's no pinch on any bill, because what you paid was for a piece of Jannah, and really, can you quantify a piece of Jannah? Absolutely not, absolutely not. So this is the way we should think, my dear brothers and sisters, that as we intend Allah, when we give a few rands at the traffic light or a few dollars to the poor person we see outside of the store, and we intend it to be a sadaqah, intend what you spend on your family to be a sadaqah as well. Also, we learn, my dear brothers and sisters, that as an ummah, we need to be people of action. Look at the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: feed and spread the salam. This is action based, right? Instructions, right? So we need to be people of action, not people who speak a lot. And this is our problem today. We've become good talkers, right? And if we do act, then we lack vision in how we act, so we have a problem, because our acts become random activity. So we have problems on so many levels. I'm not trying to throw the curtains in terms of progress and in terms of the goodness that's out there. No, it's there. But we're not discussing the good out there. We're discussing how can we make things better. So don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to create a doomy, gloomy kind of scenario here. No, there's khair, there's goodness, but we're not discussing the goodness. Right now we're focusing on how can we become better. Right? We need to better ourselves, and bettering ourselves, or taking something from level 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 or 3 to 4, and that's what we really should be doing. Even in the good that we do, we've got to up it a level. We've got to turn on the volume, right? We've got to tweak things. We've got to make it better. Because you and I, as Muslims, really, we are only as good as our last performance. This is the reality. We need to feel the pressure every minute to make our current minute better than the last minute. We need to feel that pressure, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to feel that pressure. You know, we shouldn't be asking the question, is it permissible for me to watch football? The question we should be asking myself, is it good use of my time for me to watch football? It might be that it's good use of your time now, because, you know, to do a certain act now, because obviously Allah has made us as human beings. We need times for recreation, we need time for this, we need time for that. But the question is, do we even ask ourselves this question? That is it the right thing? Is my brain, is my body, is my heart, is my mind, is my soul in need of this now? Is this going to help me become better? Like sleep helps you become better when it's needed. But if you oversleep, it's not good for you. Food helps you become better when it's needed. If you overeat, it's not good for you, right? So too much recreation is not good for you. But recreation is good for you when it's needed. So today we tend to, you know, ask questions when there should be questions before that question, right? We need to be people of action. We talk a lot. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clearly manifests this in the Qur'an. He says that situations turn from bad to good when there's action. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمْ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah will not change a situation or cause a situation to change amidst a people until these people or those people make a sincere effort to change the situation themselves. Subhanallah. Right? غَيَّرَ يُغَيِّرُ. This is a verb. This is action-based. حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Then, at times of goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah will not take your security, your strength, your honor, right? Your ease away until you change your situation yourselves. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرَ نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. As Allah says in the 10th juz, right? That when things are good, know and understand, Allah won't make it bad for you. He won't remove this blessing that He showered upon you until you begin to change for the worse yourselves. So really, it's all about action, my dear brothers and sisters. And we are net results of our collective actions. So, I mean, look, subhanAllah, how are we expanding on this hadith? Just to extract, let's extract the lessons. We're talking about salah, but this hadith really has so many touch points in the different areas of our life, right? So if we collectively act and become enabled in a positive and good way, our situation will change for the better. And if we do it, if we become enabled in the wrong way, our situation will functionally change for the worse as a result of our actions, right? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they're coming and saying, which Islam is the best? They wanted to act. They wanted to not talk about things. They didn't want to discuss things, you know, till 12 o'clock at night on couches in front of the big 52-inch television. No, my dear brothers and sisters. It wasn't a talking game. It was an acting game, putting things into action. When I say acting, I mean putting things into action. That's what it was about. Thus you have a companion coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying, please tell me which Islam is the best. Tell me now, which Islam is the best? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, do this act and do this act. Perhaps this was something that he needed to improve on, and alhamdulillah he got advice from the best teacher. Now the other thing in this hadith we learn is that we should make salam to people who we know and who we don't know. And this is an issue that we have, brothers and sisters, in our communities, right? We only greet people we know. And this is a problem. This is a big problem. And last week we discussed how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want to create love between yourselves, spread the salam. Because the salam is a dua for the person. And there's no better gift. You can give somebody a pair of glasses, but it's not going to be as precious as a dua you make to them when you see them, when you say assalamu alaikum, that may Allah protect you from all harm, both in this world and the next, starting with my harm, meaning I won't backbite you, I won't tell tales about you, I won't engage in gossip about you, I won't be jealous of you, etc, etc, right? There's no better gift that you can give this person. Today we only greet people we know, and last week we discussed how insincere, unfortunately, may Allah forgive us, we've become, that we greet people we know, and even though we announce this dua and these promises to them, technically, we greet them whilst we're jealous about them. We greet them whilst we've spoken bad about them. We greet them whilst we hate their success. Right? That's a problem. Another problem is we only greet the people we know. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we heard last week, he said that, can I point to you or can I direct you to something that if you do it, it will increase love between yourselves? Tahababtum. And they said, what is it, O Prophet of Allah? He said, it's free, it's not going to cost you anything. Spread the salam. spread the salam. Spread the salam between yourselves. That's what he said. Simple. Simple. You know, today we're always looking at all these expensive things, you know. Will it cost this much? Will it cost that much? You know, spread the salam. A sincere salam. Wallahi, you can't put a price on it. And greet people you don't know. As long as they look like Muslims and you feel in your heart that the Muslims, greet them. Wallahi, you don't know the effect it will have on them. Especially now, my dear brothers and sisters, we have even refugees coming into our countries from different places. Right? We're following the news. We know what's happening. May Allah shower ease upon them. They're coming to our shores and we're just ignoring them. You know, you go at the airports, you might see them having arrived, but you see Muslims passing them without even greeting them, as if there's no allegiance between us and you. No, my dear brothers and sisters. Islam gathers us upon the bond of belief and tawheed, in the one belief in the oneness of Allah. The bond of faith is far stronger than the bond of blood or nationalities or ethnic backgrounds. Right? We should be there saying, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Greet them, wallahi, make them feel welcome just by that salam. You don't know the stress they're going through. You don't know that one salam that you give from the bottom of your heart with a smile could lift them out of a depression that they might be going into. Right? So, take this to account, my dear brothers and sisters. Greet the people you know and the people you don't know. And I shared with you once a story on here, in our series, that once I was walking and I greeted somebody and the person next to me said, hey, how do you know that guy? And I said, I don't know him. But why do you ask? He goes, no, you greeted him. I said, yes, he looks like a Muslim, alhamdulillah. You know, we don't just... the person next to me thought I knew him because I greeted him. And this shows that this mentality is present, my dear brothers and sisters. This mentality which goes against the sunnah is present, where we only greet people we know. And as we will see in narrations coming up, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us to greet the young as well. He advises us to greet the young as well. So let's take this into consideration, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay, now if we move on to the hadith of Al-Bara, in my notes it's hadith 847. In this particular hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to do seven things. That's what he says. He says to visit the sick, to follow the funeral, right, of a Muslim who's passed away. To invoke the mercy of Allah upon one who sneezes. Meaning, when he sneezes and he says, Alhamdulillah, you say, Yarhamukallah. Then, number four, to support the weak. Number five, to help the oppressed. Number six, to promote the greetings, Assalamu alaikum. That's a right. Right? And the last one, number seven, to help those who take an oath. To actually do their oaths. Right? So this is what he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Al-Bara. So here we see that there are seven rights that a Muslim has upon us. And one of those rights, as we see here, is to promote the greeting. That when we see them, we say assalamu alaikum. And as we said yesterday, that if someone greets us, we have to respond by saying wa alaikum salam. So Muslims have obligations towards one another. And the fulfillment of the social responsibility translates into the creation of mutual love. And obviously that much needed sense of cohesion and feeling of respect for one another. You know, in fact, lying is forbidden in the Sharia. But one of the times when a lie is permitted is, for example, when two brothers or sisters are fighting. Muslim brothers and sisters are fighting. And you want to reconcile between them. So you go to one and say, you know, so and so, this person you're fighting with, I just met them, they passed you salam. And then you go to the other one, you say, this person, this is what the scholars have explained, this person who you're having a problem with, I just met them, hey, they mention you in goodness and pass you salam, and, you know, they wish this problem can dissolve. And most likely when these two quote-unquote enemies meet each other, they probably will greet each other with the salam, alhamdulillah. So wallahi, this salam is blessed by Allah. It has an ability. It's blessed by Allah. If you really intend Allah and you're sincere with it, Allah will use it to open the hearts. And remember, the hearts are controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we always hear in the Friday khutbah, مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. That whoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whoever Allah misguides, none can guide. Wallahi, the hearts are in control, are controlled by Allah. It's not our word, it's not the gift of the gab, it's not. Yes, these are all means which Allah makes a means. But the true control is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you truly and sincerely intend Allah with this salam, then understand that this salam is blessed. and perhaps Allah will make it a means for you, and it will be the quickest way to penetrate the heart of a person that you're having any issues with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. So we learn from this hadith that it is a right upon the Muslims to greet each other and to respond to each other's greetings. Then we have the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and in this hadith he says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by him in whose hand is my life, you will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. Shall I inform you of something that if you do it, you will love one another? Promote greetings amongst yourselves. And we have discussed this, walillahi alhamd. In the next hadith of Abdullah ibn Salim radiallahu anhu, this is in my copy by the way, he says that he heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, O people, exchange the greetings of peace, and feed the people, and strengthen the ties of kinship, and be in prayer when others are asleep, you will enter Jannah in peace. Allahu Akbar. Right? So we discussed feeding the people, we've discussed the importance of the greeting, and here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, strengthen the ties of kinship. Yes, your blood relations. You know, have a good relationship with them. Pick up the phone, say assalamu alaikum to them. Send them a WhatsApp message. Keep in touch for the sake of Allah. This is beloved to Allah. And in another narration, we are taught that if you look after the bonds of kinship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you barakah in your time and grant you barakah in your rizq, in your sustenance, right? That 100 rand will go much further than it normally does. Your 1 minute will go much further than it normally does. Everybody's saying, wallahi, the days are flying. Subhanallah. Yes, it's from the days of Qiyamah. The days will fly. That's what's happening. Right? The days are flying. I can remember what I did, four Fridays ago as if it was yesterday. That's scary. If we have that kind of vivid memories of a month ago, that indeed is scary. And that indeed is a reality. So what should we do? We need to now hold on to all the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that helps bring barakah, blessings back in our life. That helps bring barakah and blessings back in our minutes and seconds and dollars and cents, right? And rands. What we need to do is we need to, you know, increasing bismillah before we do things, because bismillah brings about barakah. And also from the things that we need to do is maintain the bonds of kinship. Right, to keep in touch with our family members, to visit them, to be with to be with them during their times of difficulty. Right, we're always busy, but subhanallah, we're not busy doing the right things. And that's the problem. That's the problem. We're busy doing the wrong things, which make us even more busier. Right, if you just took a minute or two to pick up a phone, speak to somebody, how are you doing? You keeping well? Wallahi, you don't know. You know that little call, you might have spent 2-3 minutes, but it might add and a half an hour, 1 hour to your day. In terms of barakah, yes, the day is 24 hours, but in terms of Allah blessing you to do so much more in the little time that you have. So take care of this particular point, my dear brothers and sisters. Very, very important that we look after the bonds of kinship. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and be in the prayer when others are asleep, you will enter Jannah in peace. And this refers to waking up for the tahajjud prayer. Waking up for the tahajjud prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this. Wallahi, waking up for tahajjud only happens to those who Allah blesses to wake up. As is the case with every act of worship. And if you want to ensure your standing with Allah during the last third of the night, then ensure your day with Allah is good. Yes. You know, many people say, how do I wake up for tahajjud? You know, obviously the obvious thing is put an alarm clock. Some people put alarm clocks and they still don't wake up. So how do I wake up? Well, the reality is, you will wake up if Allah wants you to be standing at that time, because the rewards are great, right? So you got to lobby for your place to have a standing in front of Allah during the last third of the night. By how should you lobby? By being an exemplary Muslim in the day, right? By being an exemplary Muslim in the day. Be sincere, live for Allah. If you make a mistake, seek forgiveness from Allah. Acknowledge your mistakes, you know, try and revive as many sunnahs as you can, even if it's in the form of a miswak, right? Right? Be true with Allah, right? And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be true with you, right? Sadaqu ma'ahadullahi ilayhi. This is from the Quran that, the sahaba were those people who were true with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were true with the covenants they made with Allah. They recited this kalima, this shahada, and they were true and they recited it. It wasn't that they recited the shahada and then they dilly-dallied. No. And that's what made them the best generation. Right? That's what made them the best generation. So be true with your covenant. Now, in the last hadith that we read today, the hadith of Tufail, it's a beautiful hadith. And the crux of the hadith is that we have the Sahabi, Tufail, radiallahu anhu, he is going to the marketplace when he doesn't even want to buy or sell anything. He doesn't even want to, you know, engage in an auction or anything, right? So, but why is he going? As he answers in this discussion, I'm going so I can pass salams to the people. You know, I have a free moment, let me go there and make salam. Again, look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We can literally say they were engineers in building Jannah. You know, they were engineers in creating rewards, right? I mean, who thinks like this today? Who thinks like this today? Wallahi, I mean, you know, this is what you know, the other day I tweeted, I said we need to be people who worship Allah hard, but we also need to be people who worship Allah smart. We need to be smart. This is smart thinking. This is not a hard thing to do, to come up. Those days the marketplace was next to the homes. So you just get out, you meet people, you make salam, alhamdulillah, you intend Allah by that salam, Allah is building your Jannah for you. Your scales are becoming heavier on the day of Qiyamah. Look how they thought. I mean, today we'll probably ridicule people for this, but subhanAllah, this in the best generation, this was valued. This was valued. This was a person being a true part of the fabric of society. He has a purpose. I'm leaving my home today to create unity. I'm leaving my home today to increase love between us. I'm leaving my home today to make my scales heavy on the day of Qiyamah. I'm leaving my home today to build my Jannah. I'm leaving my home today to make Allah happy. How? By going to the marketplace and greeting people I know and I don't know. Subhanallah. Food for thought, my dear brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, our time has come to an end. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Bismillah, when we return next week, may Allah preserve us in His obedience. Ameen. We will begin chapter 132. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, Sheikh Sajid, Allah Rabbul Izzah, you will do, inshaAllah.
Ameen. Shakarallahu lakum wa nahnu jami'an.
Ameen, inshaAllah.